congratulations on the film. It's hysterically funny.
Yeah, it's great.
I really wondered what your theater background does to inform your character in this movie. How do you draw from your theater background?
In this, I don't know that I did. I'm sure I do in a million ways that I don't realize because it's integrated into me by now. But for her, this was a really, of many films that I've done, this is particularly filmic because we had so much improv. So, which is kind of so opposite of rehearsal, rehearsal, rehearsal in the theater. But I think that it's just always it informs everything at this point. Yeah.
Did you think there was some special chemistry that just was found with all four of you, or is it just that just because you're just such consummate actors, you were able to fall right into it no matter what it might have been?
You know, I think they just, Jay and Mark picked, they used their instincts to pick us, to put us together, and hoped for that, and they were right. Like, we got along and enjoyed each other, and I think it started from them, from their vision and instinct.
I remember when you worked with Sidney Lumet and Before the Devil Knows You're Dead, and he kind of stressed that you stuck to the script and you rehearsed in the order of the script. How is this process for you when you're improvising completely? Do you prefer sticking to the script, or is it more fun for you to just improv the way you did in this film?
Well, it was really fun, and it was also, we had the just luxury of shooting in order, which is something that the directors fought for, and I don't think we could have improvised to the degree that we did without, it's just, there's so many emotional mini catharses and crisis points and the hurdles to get through that if we didn't do it in order, it would have been really hard to improv with this one, no, because it wasn't just improvising for funny, it was improvising for like emotional development.
So when you shoot in order and you don't shoot like all the scenes that are in one set at a time, mm-hmm. does that interfere with the process? I mean, to me, it seems to make more sense to shoot a film in order.
Yeah, but it makes sense, but that's not who said that the film business makes sense.
Yeah, I know.
yeah.
Because otherwise, you have to reset that scene. Every time you go back to shoot in a certain place, they have to relight it and all. So mm-hmm. it seems that it would take more time. But did that affect you in any way?
Oh, no, well, because the lighting setups weren't that, it wasn't about a lighting setup. So, that was all really, it was really minimal. I don't think we really blocked even that much, It was just really liberating.
Just the creative process.
Yeah.
The film is so much about emotional possession in terms of Cyrus and his mom, and it's such an intricate relationship, yet you guys don't rehearse. How well did you know Jonah before you started shooting?
I didn't know him at all. We had a mutual friend, and we didn't know each other.
So how quickly did you build that relationship then and get something that's so convincing on screen when mm-hmm. it's such a complicated relationship?
I don't know. we just showed up and did it. It wasn't any building any researching or anything like that. It was just jumping in. Yeah. And the characters were, they were talking about that it was improv, but the script was excellent and they had written really good, full characters. Mm-hmm. So we had that.
First, I'm curious to hear what your thoughts are, because so much of the movie had to do with the dichotomy between listening to your, heart or your instincts, and then listening to maybe what outside people are saying when it comes to possibly a toxic relationship. So when it comes to like how you deal with things, do you think it's better for someone to just listen to their instincts or do you think if someone is telling you this person is in your life is wrong for you or doing something wrong, you should just like pay more attention to what that person is saying?
Who is it that's hurt you? What are you really saying?
They get involved. Someone close to them.
I'm just kidding. you have to, really center, listen to yourself, and, have some trusted advisors and then let the shit hit the fan like it always does.
did you have any inspiration for playing some, because obviously your character had Cyrus very young, but when it comes to playing, you know, a mom who has this like adult man child in her life, did you draw on any real life inspiration?
No.
No friend you called up and said, what is with your relation?
Yeah, I was like, you know what I've been meaning to bring to your attention? No.
How do you decide what roles to take? You're making really interesting, smart choices lately. I'm just wondering how you decide.
I'm making the decisions probably pretty much the same way I always made them, except for maybe sometimes I... before I did some more commercial things, got talked into some things, but not that often. So I think it just seems like it's maybe just better if things just came along.
Are you drawn to indie aesthetic kind of?
Yeah, I mean, but not to the exclusion of not wanting to do other kinds of films. Just that sort, you know, some of it's like, this is what I get offered, and this is what I'm interested in, a subject matter, and the combination of all the different things. I mean, this summer I'm doing the kind of two bigger movies and then one small movie, too. So I'm doing this movie with Steve Carell. It's not titled yet. And I'm doing a movie with Matthew McConaughey. Like, and then I just did a smaller movie with Greg Kinnear. So it's kind of... so it's out of my control a lot in most of it, besides the picking part. But at some point, you got to pick if you want to do something. You know, keep working.
What's the Steve Carell film about?
It's about his marriage kind of hitting a rut and him kind of getting groovy.
And you play it his.
I play a groove factor.
You still involved with Naked Angels?
Yeah, they're kind of having a moment being represented on Broadway. And
you're one
cool.
of the founding members, right?
I'm not a founding member, but pretty, you know, came within that year. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
Do they offer you, I mean, do they talk to you about doing things with them at the same time as well? Because I know you did a show for them a couple of years ago.
I've always done things, you know, intermittently with, I mean, I've done so many things with them. Probably the most things I've done has been with them, like considering the whole overall span of time. But yeah, I mean, this just so happened that the play that Jeffrey wrote, there wasn't really. Yeah.
Can you tell me about the Prop 8 reenactment video that you did?
The what?
The Prop 8 reenactment.
Oh, uh-huh. I met Cleve Jones last year, and while he was around for Milk, and good friends with Bruce Cohen, who produced Milk, and I ran into Cleve, and it was all his idea. That was his brainchild. It's like, this is another way, because they didn't allow cameras in the room. So let's show everyone, you know, how it actually, you know, how it went down, and so people can hear it in a more accessible way instead of sitting and reading transcripts of Prop 8 that's kind of dry. And so I was happy to be asked and do it. It was fun. It was a fun day. It was fun just to do, but also, of course, I absolutely believe that everyone has a right to live how they want to live and not be told that they can't.
The Steve Carell comedy, it's more of an ensemble. There's like a ton of Kevin Bacon and Julianne Moore. How is that different from working in Cyrus, where it's like it's you and two other people? Like, how would that be approached differently? Or
every movie is different, you know, the you know, from the director and how they're going to approach the work and to the type of material it is. So, I mean, I kind of just adapt to what the situation is. I don't have a hard and fast method, and it's except for that, just go with the flow, kind of.
So we were talking with John about kind of cracking up at the really funny scenes that Jonah was playing, and I wonder if you had any moments where you just kind of like lost it because it was so funny.
I wish that in the scenes I did, but I mean, all the time they were cracking me up. they were just cracking me up all the time. And in that "don't fuck my mom" thing, that was kind of, I was almost like, I just was really, I was stymied and just, that's, it was so funny. I heard.
You guys are going to become a t-shirt.
God.
Was that improvised or was that,
I hope that
script,
means,
then?
I'm not even going to go there.
Was that improvised or was that in the script, that line?
That I was improvised by Joan.
Improvised,
How different was the script from what actually, you know, were there major changes from what was, I mean, obviously every word to word, but mm-hmm. overall, like, the progression change? Or
I don't know for sure, but because it all became so integrated at a certain point, but a lot of the, like, that those emotional cathartic moments that we were talking about had to, took, those were a lot of improv. And then throughout the scenes, though, the guys are so great at it. They're just so quick. So
how do they divide up their roles?
The Duplass brothers, yeah. How do they? They, well, you know that Mark's an actor also, and that Jay also is a camera operator and cinematographer, and so Jay's on the floor with us, basically. Mm-hmm. He's in the ring, and a lot of times Mark will be watching a small monitor and be able to communicate to him through an earpiece, and then they go back and they confer. I don't know really how they divide, if they divide or how they divide. They both talked to me equally and separately about what was going on. I think, you know, whoever's near them, they go to who's ever near the other one. They'll, okay, Joan is near me, I'll go talk to him, you go to talk to her, and that was just kind of seemed like that.
Does
wasn't
it seem seamless? Like, with their, do they agree on everything? And they
don't agree on everything. I mean, they have the same vision, but they have enough differences to be able to kind of articulate and work out their vision and play the advocates with each other to kind of get it even clearer to make their vision happen.
So you've been to the Academy Awards 3 times as a nominee, and obviously one. So I was wondering, from your perspective, is there anything that continues to surprise you about that whole experience? And also, have you ever met anyone because you were at the Academy Awards and they happened to be there too? Just any highlights for you?
I remember the first time that I went, I remember Whoopi Goldberg being really, really, really kind to me, really nice, and I was like pacing. I had to do a presentation with Pesci, and I just remember her just I was pacing in the hallway, and she just came over and made me laugh and was just really sweet. Yeah.
Is there anything that continues to surprise you every time you go as a
The whole thing is a giant surprise. It's just a lot of hoopla. Yeah.
As an actress, how hard is it, you know, with a wrestler, you had those crazy nude scenes. How tough is it approaching that and sort of putting that out there?
Well, I had already kind of broken the ice on Before the Devil Knows You're Dead, so that was, like, that was harder. And then with this one, it was just like, well, I'll just concentrate on the dancing. I really hope that I get that spin down.
About whether you would take the top off or not.
Yeah, it wasn't really a game. It was just really whatever the how the evening unfolded.
Would you like to have Jonah as your son?
His mother should definitely be proud. He's pretty bright and extraordinary, and a great person. Yeah.
Since you started in this industry, what do you think has gotten better and what's gotten worse?
I don't know. That's just too many. I can't think of what.
You know,
that.
I asked John this question. Yeah. I was wondering what you thought of this. In Before the Devil Knows You're Dead, you're with Philip Seymour Hoffman, and in this film, you're with John C. Reilly, and they play kind of average guys, and you play this beautiful woman, which is easy for you to do. And I was wondering what your feeling is about women being less judgmental than men in terms of choosing a mate, you know, and in terms of judgmental appearance-wise.
Mm-hmm.
I think that women are kinder than men.
You do? Well, I guess you think that women are very beautiful then. I mean, all women are so beautiful that they are so not judgmental to all the men on the planet.
There are certain women who are considered beautiful. And I just see, and sometimes they seem to be more open to choosing mates that are not Brad Pitt. Mm-hmm. And so I was wondering what your feeling was on that, if you think that's valid or
anything's not. Valid for whoever, you know, whatever works for anybody, you know.
Yeah. Sort of back to that question about the change in the industry. I mean, mm-hmm. I do think there's one thing with the advent of the indie film or, you know, that it sort of has this parallel track. It does give opportunities to play characters and roles that you might not have been offered or had at another time. Do you feel that's the case? Do you think that you're getting opportunities to play roles, more complex roles, that might not have been available on the days of the more, you know, Hollywood-esque or the 80s? Or what do you think? Do you think it has changed in that sense?
Yeah, well, that kind of answers her question for me. Thank you.
Being around for a few years, an observer of the scene, do you find that the quality of the scripts are different, the range of the directors, the opportunities to work mm-hmm. with people with more free, liberating ideas? Mm-hmm. How's it changed or not?
I guess that there's definitely periods of more, you know, little renaissances within. Within the decades, I wasn't really thinking like that when I started, so I don't really have a perspective, then it wasn't good and now it's good. Or I just know that this film is extremely unusual, and it has such a singular voice, and this whole kind of, I know they call it mumblecore, but I don't really know if that's a great way to call it. But it's just this naturalistic comedy, but humanistic genre. It definitely appeals to me. I like it, and I just wound up in it by luck. So
clearly, they were a selling point for the film for you. But how much mumblecore had you watched before doing this? How familiar were you with the genre?
I wasn't that familiar with it, and I watched The Puffy Chair, and I knew of The Puffy Chair, and that was pretty much it. And then I met the guys, and really, that's why I feel like that moniker kind of gives it a disservice. I mean, what I was attracted to wasn't, that's what they stand for. It was the way they wanted to work when I met them. They're going to work in an intimate way. I loved the idea that he was going to be operating the camera, that Jay was going to be right there with us, that they said right out front there are going to be days where we get to a scene and we're going to break it apart and we're not going to know how to put it back together, and we'll all figure that out together. And it feels more like a collective. And that very much appeals to me.
Yes, I'm just curious to hear, in terms of, a lot of actors say they don't like to watch themselves on screen after they've done a film. I was wondering how you feel about watching yourself on screen after you've done one of your films. And also, what's your sort of, when it comes to new movies that are coming out, do you usually wait till they're on DVD? Do you like to be one of the people who sees it while they're in theaters?
I don't usually watch anything that I've been in, and I don't go get the DVD or anything. I mean, I ask them, you know, I'm sure my mother has them anyway, but I'd like to keep it for a record, you know, like I did do something, but I don't go and look at it, and I certainly don't look at it right away, ever. But in this case, I did actually see this movie because I was so fascinated by the brothers, and so I kind of forced myself to sit through it at Sundance and just loved it as a movie, and then I watched it again, shockingly enough, last night at the BAM screening. But it's like, because I don't like to deal with my part, but the filmmaking itself, the way they did the editing, the music that they used, that use of montage in that original way, like all of that was, I just was soaking it up, and knowing them and knowing such an inside track on it, I wanted to watch it and to understand where they were going with this, because it's, like I said, it was so unusual. I wanted to understand them better.
Now that you've made a directorial debut with the documentary, where do you think you might want to go? I mean, do you want to go back to Broadway? theater into a play, or do you want to continue and maybe make a full length?
Actually, it wasn't a documentary, just it was a, I know, I mean, because it's kind of like that kind of subject matter. Oh, is that in the notes? Does it say documentary?
Yeah, well,
it says documentary.
It says
PBS documentary,
so. Oh, it's not.
You've got
yeah, thanks. I will before we go to LA. Thank you.
It's not.
It's a narrative, but it's a short film. It's only 15 minutes. But I don't know. It was a great experience. Maybe that's why I watched Cyrus, because I could watch it through a little bit of different eyes now. You know, having done even just had that little experience. You know, directing.
Do you think your style will affect what you want to do when you make your larger film?
I like keep that vision for me. I'm sure that yeah. I mean, I loved working that way, and I think that they. It's so many films come to a tight corner and then they fall apart, or the end of the movie, like, it just goes, it's up to you, you know, cliffhanger. And that was the vogue for a while, and it worked. I was into it, but these guys go for the answer. They're like mature enough inside themselves and curious enough and fearless enough to push the characters to work it out. And that's really staying with the characters. That's not staying with the technology, and that's not running from the love story. It's not like having a whole movie and then at the end being like, I love you, but then never really seeing like, well, how does that love manifest, and how does that work out? It's like, this movie starts with, I love you, and I love you, and I love you, and we all love each other so much that we've created a mess. But that's a great mess to try to work out. And that's not, it's the subject matter is also different, not just the filmmaking. So I'm inspired by them on that level.
Right as well?
No.
Have you ever felt love is toxic?
I'm not that cynical. But, you know, I realize now that it can be, but I don't subscribe to that.
You were saying that there are a number of films that you haven't watched. What would surprise us that you haven't?
Wait a second. I just have to correct that. I don't think it's toxic at all. I wouldn't use that word with it.
When you mentioned that.
That it's a mess?
Yeah, about the mess.
But we're all messy, especially when we really love. That's not toxic, though. It's called passion, babe.
But is there a film of yours that would surprise us that you haven't watched? Like, In the Bedroom is so emotionally powerful. Is that a film that, you know, that you haven't revisited, you know, again, or like Cousin Vinny, or things? I mean, what's a film that would surprise us that you haven't watched?
I'm telling you, I don't watch them. I told you.
Yeah. You know, as someone that grew up in New York, what are your favorite things about New York or Brooklyn?
Bagels. you know, just the street life, of course, the diverse mix of people.
Do you still go back to where you grew up? Or?
Well, I mean, once in a while, just to like look around, but there's a really great pizza place. They're probably the best pizza place in DeFara was my local. So I know. It is so expensive now.